on both 245 and on this bill. I think one thing the Department of Corrections is pretty good at is incapacitating offenders when we have them in our custody, which is our core responsibility. And people aren't going to be harming their families or other people when they're residing in Lemon Creek or Fairbanks or Spring Creek. I just wanted to...
Well, we want to make you incapacitate them a little stronger while they're there, too.
We want you to include Highland Mountain.
Okay. Okay. Now, we'll go to the teleconference and get some testimony here, and then we also have, I know, at least one person here in this house that probably can't be back on Saturday to testify. So I'll ask the question. We'll go first to Sitka. We have a couple of people there, and try to keep your testimony to between 2 and 3 minutes so that we can get through this list. And if you can be available on Saturday, I would invite you to come back on Saturday and give your testimony. You may have a little more time. So let's go first of all to Barry Allen. What is your wish? Do you want to give testimony today or wait till Saturday?
Today, ma'am, if possible.
Okay, go ahead, sir, and be as brief and to the point as possible.
I will. Good morning. I'm Sergeant Barry C. Allen of the Sitka Police Department. Automated notification of the victims of violent crimes would be a positive step for the rights of victims. Periodically, I hear from worried victims who have been threatened by the assailants or feel they are still in danger if their assailant is released. Vine would go a long way towards keeping victims informed about their assailants, allowing the victim to prepare for the assailant's release. In domestic violence and sexual assault cases, this could prove especially beneficial. I can think of few other circumstances when a person would feel more vulnerable than when they had been subjected to the violent victimization of their person than left to wonder when their assailant would be set free and they could be subjected to the wrath of the same assailant, now possibly more aggravated by his time in jail. Vine would allow the victim some reassurance in knowing the status of the assailant. Vine would go hand in hand with the Domestic Violence Prevention and Protection Act of 1996. I commend the sponsors of House Bill 47 and encourage its prompt passage. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Thank you. And also in Sitka, Christine McLeod, do you want to testify today or wait till Saturday?
I'd like to testify today, please.
Okay, please go ahead and be as brief as possible.
Thank you, Madam. My name is Christine McLeod. I'm the director of Sitkins Against Family Violence, which is a women and children's shelter here in Sitka, and I'm testifying in favor of House Bills 47 and 48. Many victims of domestic violence and sexual assault feel disempowered by the criminal justice system. They feel that either they are superfluous to the process or that they themselves are being blamed for the crime. The effect on victims is to discourage reporting and to further traumatize victims. Vine is one means of giving victims a feeling of control over the process. In 1994, the legislature wisely showed its support for victims by amending the state's constitution to include a victim's rights amendment. Allowing the Department of Corrections to implement Vine would strengthen the state's compliance with this amendment. Vine will also help to ensure the safety of women and children. We have many women and children at the shelter whose years of abuse have finally been halted by a temporary incarceration by their perpetrator. This incarceration is generally due to the victim's courage in coming forward with her story and following through with it through the criminal justice system. Victims who have had the courage to come forward often fear the perpetrator's retaliation when they are released. Many victims, in fact, are convinced that the perpetrator will kill them once they are released. Vine will give those victims peace of mind by knowing that they can keep track of the perpetrator's status and make appropriate plans to ensure her and her children's safety. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And if we could go to Homer, we have Ms. Laurentia Chambly. Can you testify on Saturday? Do you want to give your testimony today?
I'd like to testify today, please.
Okay. Would you go ahead and be as brief as possible?
I'd just like to say that I'm in support of House Bill 4748. Victims of domestic violence live in fear when they're with the victim, and they live in fear even after the perpetrator has been incarcerated. The perpetrator often makes threats of harm if the victim should call the police when they're together, and often says that if he's put in jail that he'll kill her. And these threats are believed and cause a lot of problems with the victim. They live in fear when they're with the perpetrator. They live in fear even though he may be in prison for a long period of time. So I believe that having the Vine in place, having the system in place, will do a lot towards alleviating the fear that the victim lives with, and also says to the victim that the system understands their worries and their concerns and takes it seriously. So I'd just like to reiterate that I think it's very important that this passes, and not a year from now, but this year as soon as possible, because it really understates the rights of the victims to living a life with liberty and the pursuit of happiness as a goal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And if we could move to Anchorage, we have Janice Linehart.
Yes, I'm Janice Linehart with Victims for Justice, and I support this type of legislation also. I know in my experience with victims, I often get calls from victims that have discovered the defendant has been had institutional changes or is out on furlough, and they find out after the fact, and it's very devastating to them. Often they'll call to find out information and always can't get information when they need it. And I think it's important that people are informed of the status at all times. And if, in fact, they can keep the data accurate, this is a powerful tool of keeping everyone updated to what's going on so that they can prepare for the release. Plus, it gives the constitutional, it makes the constitutional rights be enforced, which in reality, that doesn't always happen.
Thank you. Okay, if we could go here to Juno, then Ethel Behrens, if you'd like to come forward and testify, please.
My name's Ethel Behrens. I'm from Eagle River. I'm a conscientious for the San Diego Conscience with the Daily News. Sorry about everything I've heard this morning. I've lived through every one of these statements. I've been stalked. I've been threatened. I've been assaulted. Friends who knew me have been assaulted. My parents have been assaulted. And the way I found out that Sam was out of jail was he attacked my parents' tenants. I had no warning, no chance to get my family's safety. My elderly parents have been threatened. Most of you know that the reason this means so much to me is these are my family. And these are the people that are being directly affected by not being notified. The Vine program helped me to allow safety for my children, my parents. And I appreciate your time. You guys here hearing this earlier, getting this on the schedule earlier, you've all been very helpful and very caring and helped me to get things a little bit better in my life personally. But this program will help more than just my life. You've all, several of you have signed as co-sponsors and showed great commitment, support, and concern for the whole program as well as my family, and that just touches my heart. Thank you guys for doing that. Do you have any questions? I'd love to answer. Thanks for having the time to do this.
Thank you, Ethel. I know this is very hard on you. Okay, we'll move on. Thank you very much for coming forward. Did you have a question, Representative Dyson?
Yeah. To the chair, Ethel, would you tell the panel here what you have done to try to protect yourself?
I've had to go to the extent of getting a handgun, borrowing a handgun to carry when I'm not with other people. I have to stay very public. I have to keep another adult with me. I have to inform my children at school and show them pictures. I'm in frequent contact with the state troopers as well as the city police. I'm going to court on a regular basis because the only way I can find out the conditions of this man's release or what's going on is to face this man in court. And every time I have to show up in court, he gets angrier because he feels like I'm provoking him. And I don't say anything. I just sit back quietly and listen. And I have to face him. And it's a terrifying experience to have to go in and face this man. But if I try to call the courts and find out what's happening, I get the his files with the judge. I'm sorry, the judge isn't available. His files, we're not sure where it's at right now, so I can't find out information currently with the present system without waiting a few weeks to be notified. If it's a letter in the mail, it's going to take a while because people, if it's at the end of their day and they want to go home, they're not going to do it that day. Yet an automated system would allow for me to be notified, allow for me to call in, allow for me to have precautions in my life. I have to sleep with a gun under my bed when I don't know what's happening because he's threatened to bring his family out with guns to attack my children and myself. I have to have, instead of just a fire escape, I have to have a plan of intruder escape for my 14-year-old to get my kids out of the house safely.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, really appreciate you coming forward, and congratulations on winning your time in Juneau. How has it been?
Wonderful. You all have been so wonderful and very, very receptive to hearing my story.
Okay, we'll go to Fairbanks now, and Sandy Samanego.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you. My name is Sandy Samaniego, and I'm the Executive Director of Women in Crisis Counseling and Assistance. I am testifying in support of the implementation of an automated victim notification system. It is apparent to me that the legislature recognizes the importance and severity of our state's domestic violence and sexual assault problems. On behalf of the victims of these crimes, I want to thank you for the support you have given. I don't know how to put a price tag on people's lives. I do know that Alaskans are killed because of domestic violence and sexual assault every year. Statistics also tell us that more than 10% of Alaskan women are abused by a partner each year, many of whom will require medical attention. Victim notification is a critical piece of our state's plan to keep victims of all violent crimes safe. It is the experience of agencies having the responsibility of notifying victims of a change in status of an offender and the victims themselves that the responsible agencies have largely been unable to timely notify victims of these changes. As a consequence, many victims' well-being and lives are endangered. I believe that an automated victim notification system will allow us to save victims from further harm and will save lives. I respectfully ask you to support House Bills 47 and 48. Thank you.
Thank you. And now in Valdez, we have Deb Pexa.
Yes, thank you. My name is Deborah Pexa, and I'm from Advocates for Victims of Violence in Valdez, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify in regards to House Bill 47 and 48, and will abbreviate my comments. I ask for your support in passing these bills. As you have already heard, this information may be a matter of life or death to victims of violence. The current system does not guarantee that victims will receive timely and vital information which they need in order to provide for the safety of themselves and their families. Victims have told us at AVV time and again that this information is primary to their safety and primary in gaining control of their lives after a violent incident. On behalf of victims of violent crime, I urge you to support House Bill 47 and 48. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now if we could go to Anchorage to John Richards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With me in my office is Arnie Fritz, our victim witness coordinator, a former director of the Male Awareness Project for the Awake Shelter, who has also testified as an expert witness before all of our district court judges. There are a couple of things. We prosecute 1,500 domestic violence cases every year. Many of these involve repeat offenders. Prior witnesses have focused on the post-conviction aspects of notifying a victim when a convicted defendant has been or will be released. And this is a burdensome thing to accomplish on paper, but it's something we've been able to do. What we have not been able to do is comply with Alaska Statute 1230027, which was passed last year, release in domestic violence cases. The current state law requires the correctional facility to notify us, the prosecuting authority, and requires us to make reasonable efforts to immediately notify the alleged victim of the release and the conditions of the release of the defendant. Most of these cases occur between 2 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning, and without an automated victim notification system, there is simply no way to meaningfully comply with this statutory requirement. Domestic violence is about power and control. 75% of our victims recant or minimize the offense, and this is a progressive sort of situation as time goes on. It is certainly common sense that they are influenced heavily by the defendant. The defendant controls his victim to a high degree by fear. Many times in the reports that I've read, As the defendant is being led away, he threatens to kill the victim, threatens to kill the children, threatens to kill the victim's family. Makes statements that if you believe this beating was bad, wait until I get out, it'll be worse. The characteristic of the perpetrator is to blame the victim for all of his problems, including his arrest. There's no way to protect the victim, to make the victim comfortable enough to cooperate with us in prosecuting the defendant without providing this level of safety. And this level is required by state statute. And without an automated victim notification system, we simply can't, in a meaningful fashion, comply with the mandate of the of the 1996 bail statute on domestic violence cases. Grant money aside, wherever it has to be paid for, this is very cost effective. The projection that I saw, the proposal was something on the nature of $2,800 a month. I can't hire somebody to sit by a fax machine and dial on the telephone all night long for $2,800. This is essential, in my view, to a coordinated and effective response to domestic violence. And I urge everyone to seriously consider passing this rapidly and trying to find the money for it.
Okay, thank you. Now we have with us Ron Moore with the Vine Company.
Good morning. This is Ron Moore with the Vine Company out of Louisville, Kentucky. And I won't repeat what other sponsors or speakers have testified to today. I'll respond to a couple of questions that were raised about the Vine Company. One, we are now in over 350 communities throughout the U.S. and Canada, and we have currently seven statewide programs in place now with four or five pending, waiting for contracts to be signed. The other question that was raised was about the providing a local company to maybe do the same thing. And we have answered this question on many occasions that we are the only company in the U.S. doing this currently because we are the only company who's proven that this will work. We have over 40 patents pending our technology designs, and we're the only company who's totally dedicated to automated victim notification. There's a lot of local computer companies in each city we go to that will offer to develop a computer notification program, but they don't have the manpower to staff it 24 hours a day. They haven't proved that it will work. Ours is a total team effort, and our program is not about putting in a computer or a software program or a voicemail program. It's really a community awareness program, because unless your community is involved, it doesn't work. We come in and do a total campaign throughout the community for the newspapers. We do public service announcements for the newspapers, the TVs, the radios. We'll do a press conference when the program is introduced. We'll spread the word throughout the community, and there's a 24-hour hotline that is established that these victims can call in anytime they want to get any updates on particular inmates. This phone number will also allow them to register to be notified when this inmate is going to be released or transferred or escapes. One thing that happened here recently, we have been dealing with the capital of California in Sacramento for almost 9 months. They, too, have been looking for the funding for this, trying to find ways to fund it. Last week, we got a phone call that they wanted us to rush to Sacramento to sign a contract because there had been an inmate escape, and he tracked his wife down and shot her. If this program had been in place, she would have been called, and she would be alive today. This is basically how the Vine program started years ago, and we think it's time now for you to act on this. The Vine program can be funded itself through the inmate phone system. The inmates' families and friends can call in and leave messages and misplace the program in many cases. So we ask that you don't wait because it could be somebody that you know. Thanks for your time.
Mr. Moore, I do have a question, and that is
sure.
We were given some numbers as to how much the ongoing expense of this would be. And I'd just like to ask you, how do you base your charges? What is it on the volume? Is it a contract that you... tell us ahead of time how much the charges are going to be, or how do you do that?
Well, based on our history throughout starting up contracts all across the country, from small county jails that have 20 people in them to recently we just signed a contract with the city of New York that has 22,000 inmates on a daily basis. So through our history, we have found out what it costs to run these. And it's based on inmate population and the population of the community, because that's where your phone calls are going to be coming in. So it's really a package.
What is the amount? I don't question the amounts of installing it. I understand that certainly is based on what it's going to cost to do that. But what is the figure that is going to be being paid to Vine
monthly,
regularly for this service?
There's a monthly charge, and the monthly charge covers your ongoing program. That's your where we come in, do your public service announcements. We develop those for you.
Uh-huh.
We write your programs for you. We provide all your cards and handouts that you're going to pass out to your police departments, your victim witness shelters, domestic violence shelters. It's an ongoing support. Plus, every 10 minutes, our call center, which is the hub of this program in Louisville, Kentucky, it will call your system every 10 minutes to check and see if there's been any changes. So this is a phone call to you and a phone call back every 10 minutes. We're monitoring your system.
I just wanted to know what that monthly charge would be.
How much is it going to be?
Uh-huh.
I don't have the exact number right in front of me, but I think it's about $90,000-something on an annual basis.
Okay. I think that's sort of the number that we had in the fiscal note. The next thing is, how often do you review that to see whether it's more or less than you anticipated?
Well, I mean, of course, contracts are signed on either a yearly basis or 3-year or 5-year basis, and it wouldn't change based on what you signed.
Okay.
It's not really decided based on the amount of phone calls that there are people calling in. It's really the total service package we provide.
Okay. You did answer my question. It's the 1, 3, or 5-year contracts that determine that. That was
right.
My question.
That's right, uh-huh.
Okay. Is there any other questions, Mr. Moore?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Berkowitz.
Briefly, Mr. Moore, if it's not too confidential, what's your profit ratio on this?
Well, that's something I wouldn't be aware of. I mean, I wouldn't know what that was. Our startup costs, I know that for a fact, the startup costs to get to the Alaska buying program is like $45,000-something. And our startup cost really is a break-even number. It's based on our expenses of flying to Alaska to develop the interface that would go in to extract the information from your current booking system, the flights, the hotel rooms, all the software changes, the scripts. What is your phone going to say when an inmate calls or a victim calls in? This is where we cover our initial costs. The profit would be only off of the monthly fee, and I don't know exactly what that is.
Thank you. Follow-up, Representative Berkowitz.
So I just want to understand, because you're nationwide, we would then be the beneficiary of economies of scale?
Exactly. Everybody in the country uses the same call center, whether you've got 20,000 inmates or 20 inmates. And any time we have any kind of technology updates or software improvements, everybody shares in that. There's no increases in your rates because of that.
Okay, thank you very much for coming forward and testifying. And that's
okay.
And this ends our telephonic testimony today. We will be rolling this bill over until 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and thank you all for coming. Meeting is adjourned.